Infernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com, or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. As always, Thursday nights, brand new content drops. We're in the middle of the Iron Dog days of August. Things are hotter than hell up here in Rochester, and no better way to celebrate it being hotter than hell than we have the masterminds behind Moneybagg Soda, the venture that Gene Simmons of KISS got involved with two Western New Yorkers. It's my honor and pleasure to have to Metal Mayhem ROC, Paul and John Janik from Moneybagg Soda in Niagara Falls. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
What's going on?
Thanks for having us. We're very excited.
It's our honor. We're very honored to be on your show.
Well, good. Let's start right from the beginning. You guys are metalheads, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, looks like we're about the same age here. Got to ask you your credentials. Started with KISS. Where else do we go with the metal?
Well, my brother could start with that because he's the one who got me into KISS.
Well, we're going back to 70s. I mean, obviously, Judas Priest, KISS, we got onto them. God, I'd have to say probably 75, 76. John's 5 years younger than me, so he was just a toddler at the time.
Yeah, I was born in 76, so I was basically just a KISS maniac by the time I was 3 years old. So I remember Dynasty coming out, getting the KISS dolls, and I took it to the next level probably since I was 3 years old. So it's been about 43 years of like insanity.
KISS fandom, we're all there. It's the gateway to the metal community.
Sure.
Quickly, what other bands are you guys into?
Oh God. From 70s, Zeppelin, Deep Purple, Jimi Hendrix, like I said, Judas Priest, AC/DC.
All the standards. Okay.
Absolutely. And, we're not like into the real, real heavy stuff. I don't really know too much about the real hardcore metal stuff, but, I grew up in the 80s. So, Motley Crue and, they were a little more hardcore. Motley Crue is a little more hardcore of the hair band. So they're always one of my favorites.
Guns N' Roses.
All the way up until now, I love Pearl Jam. We got in the Soundgarden and Rage Against the Machine. And so, but always, I think for the both of us, really, like KISS has been like the thing, like a lifelong just fandom.
You're certified metalheads. We can continue. Yes. Tell us how two metalheads from Western New York basically have teamed up with Gene Simmons and released a soda line.
Well, we were heading up to it was Wizard World, which was in Cleveland, and it was just like, it's just a normal convention, that have different celebrities at. So John and I brought our families up there because we needed our Love Gun era posters signed by Gene. We had the other members, but we said, okay, let's take a trip 3 hours away. We're gonna go up and meet Gene at Wizard World. So when my son and I went up to the booth, I had asked Gene, because at the time KISS had put out KISS Cola. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned it to him. I said, Gene, the KISS Cola, I said, I don't know how involved you were with that. I said, but I'm really disappointed because the guys that did it were customers of ours and I'd known them for years. I said, I'm disappointed they didn't, ask us to do it, knowing what big KISS fans we are. So right away after I said that, Gene's just like, do you have a card? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I got a couple ideas. He goes, I'm going to call you in a couple days. And, so I wrote my cell phone number on the card. And we went up to get our photos taken. And when we did that, I had said, Gene, don't forget to, or actually my brother said, don't forget to call us. So Gene's like, I'm going to prove it to you. So he took the card out of his pocket and he took a photo with his cell phone. And we have all documented by a professional photographer. And a few days go by. It was like Sunday afternoon. And nobody ever answers the unknown, you know, caller ID number. So I'm like, I'm going to answer it anyway. So I went in the bathroom where it was quiet. You know, I don't want my dogs barking and stuff like that. So I answered it. And, you know, you hear, hello, Paul. This is Gene Simmons of Kiss. And I'm like, my heart like dropped.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. You know, like, I can't believe this dude's calling me. So he just said, he goes, you know, he told us about how he had, you know, or told me about how he had licensed the money bag logo. And he wanted to do something based around that. So we're like, okay, cool. So he goes, send me your information. He gave me his email. And I said, okay. I said, I'll get that right out to you. So as soon as I hung up with him, I called my brother. I'm like, oh my God, Simmons just called. You know, like I was freaking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
John was with his family. And so right seconds into me telling John, hey, Gene just called me. The phone, my phone is ringing again on the other line. And it's the unknown number. I said, oh my God, I think he's calling me back. So I answer him like, hello. And he's like, Paul, did you send the info yet? And I said, Gina, he said, no. He goes, I'm sitting in front of my computer. So I told them, I said, I got to hang up. And I emailed him and we started going back and forth. So he's obviously sent us a nice image of the money bag logo. And I just, we asked him like, what do you want to do with this? And he said, I want something to look regal. You know, and so he threw a few ideas around and, you know, my John's the best artist in the family. My mom was an art teacher, all artists. Mm-hmm. So we just started right away, designing the money bag logo, like that's on the bottle, this one with the crest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, made it look regal and stuff. And to tell you the truth, like Gene was just so easy to like you. He has no assistant like or anything. You directly email him. And regardless, unless he's on stage, he emails instantly right back.
Well, you could see why he's so successful. You know, it's just instantaneous emails. You know, if he needs something, he'll get a hold of us. And if we ask him a question, boom, it's done. Like it's,
yeah.
you could see why the guy is so successful. You know, it's pretty amazing. And,
yeah.
and for really for the both of us to, you know, we've been making soda, you know, since we were 8-10 years old. So for decades, we were really able to combine our fandom with Kiss and our family business of making soda. So it's really a special story. And I think it comes through in the product. And on top of that, just Gene being so involved in it. And he's just probably the best business partner you could have.
Rewind just a little bit. So they had the Kiss Cola.
Yeah.
This is what I'm a little confused about. What, did they scrap the Kiss Cola and then they, you know, you brought in the better cola, or did they want to rebrand and do something a little better?
Here's what it was. Now, the Kiss Cola was with the band Kiss. So it was licensed through Kiss's licensing company.
Okay. Okay.
And
it was bottled in California.
Bottled in California. It had a sticker on the side with, I believe it was the Destroyer album cover. It was very just
thrown together.
More of, I think they're more of like a collectible product than it was for someone to actually consume. Well, I look at it that way. It was really nothing special. And are they still even making that? I'd imagine their license probably ran out and it never really went anywhere. They tried to add some flavors, but it didn't have the panache like ours where, you know, not only did we use the best ingredients of everything, you know, like our packaging, you can see these are actually painted bottles.
Yeah.
You know, they're not stickered. They're beautifully designed. They look like champagne bottles. So we put a great product, you know, inside of a very, very nice high-end package. And this was just a venture with Gene, not the band.
So basically that Kiss Cola was just number 4,796 of the licensed trademark stuff that the Kiss, the band has.
It was a product put together, I think, just for a collectible, something, you know, along the lines that they do with all their tchotchkes, which I buy all of them. But we wanted to design a cola that was, you know, for consumption, something high end, something that people would drink and continue to drink, not just collect.
All right. So you're up to speed. You become partners with Gene. What happens next?
Well, I mean, after we had designed everything and kind of got our packaging down, then it was, you know, we had to go out and start selling the, you know, getting it into products, getting it into distributors, you know. So obviously our distributor here in the Buffalo area, it's Triad Beverages, Balkan Beverage, which are in Rochester too. Went to those guys first, talked to them about it. And then we started going to the meeting with the chains. I went and met the buyer at Wegmans. I met the buyer at Tops. And so we just got a little bit crawling with that. Gene also took us up to, he was friends with the CEO from 7-Eleven. We all flew out to, he actually does chain calls with me. So we actually went right up to the 7-Eleven headquarters in Dallas.
It was in Dallas.
It was in Dallas, Texas.
I never thought I'd be at a meeting with the CEO of 7-Eleven. I'm sitting between the CEO of 7-Eleven and Gene Simmons, and I'm just sitting there like, you know, I really don't have too much to offer to this. And I'm freaking out. Gene Simmons is sitting next to me, and I'm looking at his cowboy boots, and I'm like, man, what's going on here? But it was such a cool experience to be able to go and do these things and talk to these people. And you watch Gene, how he handles himself, and very, very, very impressive. It was very fun.
He made me take my shirt off in the middle of the meeting. Cause I have the signatures and a KISS tattoo. And, he was explaining to people, you know, the word fan comes from fanatic. And he goes, you know, we have some KISS fanatics. He goes, Paul, show him the tattoo. So I took my shirt off right in the middle of the meeting.
Yeah, undressing in front of the CEO of 7-Eleven.
And the whole board in this boardroom. That's with...
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Who do you have tattooed on there? All original four?
I got I kind of incorporated it into one of our logos. So it's got like... It's a
rock and roll over.
I got his demon boot is upside down here. And then I had all of them signed. I got Ace Frehley. My son had to sign right next to Ace Frehley, but I got Ace, Gene, Peter, Chris, and then Paul Stanley is up on my shoulder. I don't know if you can see it or not, yeah, but
he didn't. When he had you model it, he didn't cover up Peter or Ace or anything.
No,
he put his hand over it.
Yeah. How long did it take from inception to you have the stuff in the stores?
I would say so we talked to him, and I think it was spring of 17.
Yep.
And so really by the beginning of 2018, we had the product in, and then we really started doing all those calls with the buyers, and it took off fairly quick. We put a lot of work into it. I mean, it was day in and day out with Gene here between us and doing the artwork and formulating the flavors, which Gene let us, he goes, you guys are the pop guys. You take care of the flavors. We worked with Gene with all the packaging and everything else. It was about a year from start to finish where we really got it out there and
got it moving. And then they did an article and it's like a periodical for the grocery chains. It's called Today's Grocer. So they did a front page, Gene, a front page article.
Yeah, cover article.
Yeah. And once they did that, then other chains from around the country caught on to it. So it got us into other chains, like we're in Hy-Vee, like out in the Midwest, or out in some out Washington area and stuff like that. And it also got us into other distributors that supply like grocery stores, candy chains, and stuff like that, which pretty much ship, you know, across the country. It actually got its way out into other countries. Oh, I don't know, but we had recently gotten an email from a guy from Norway, and he was asking about, and I get all kinds of emails, people asking like questions and stuff, but this guy was from Norway. He wanted to know if they could export the product to there. And I said, you know, absolutely. I didn't hear from the guy for about probably a year. And he actually ended up coming here about a month ago. And was driving through the area. He was going to the F1 races out in Montreal.
Toured our facility,
tried all the sodas. And these guys were so, like, they registered right away. We registered everything. It's for Norway, Denmark, and Sweden. And this guy owns this huge distribution company that services all the commissaries through the country and everything else. And he, you know where he found it? Was in Dusseldorf. He said in Germany, he paid 15 euros for one bottle.
Was it because it was a Gene product, or was it, is the soda standing on its own, the quality of the soda?
I think a lot of people probably go into it thinking, you know, it's just some hokey, just, you know, slap a name on it. I've had people email me and telling Gene to F off because they wanted to hate the product, but they loved it.
and Gene, he won't mince words when first time he tried it.
Was there
any kickback? Do you say ginger's good, the root beer needs work, and the cola is outstanding?
No, I think what did he say? He said like the only thing that's better is sex or something. I don't know. He said something, you know, along those lines, and we started laughing. But no, he loved it right off the bat. You know, my brother Paul and I, we've been doing soda since 1935. So we're third generation bottlers, and you know, we're not just throwing something together without any experience.
Yeah.
Having someone else bottle it, we actually run the line. We've done everything, every step of the way between design, the, you know, just everything. And we actually bottle it here too. We run the line.
We do it all, yeah.
Has any other outlets reached out to you because of the success of working with Gene?
There have been others. Like celebrities, they weren't necessarily music personalities, but yes, there was other celebrities that were reached out looking to do different things. And, you know, people don't realize what's involved with making a beverage. I mean, there's just so much behind it. Once I think people hear about it, they're like, they kind of shy away. But yeah, there have been other celebrities that reached out, that nothing that really panned out, but definitely, yeah.
I did listen. I was at one of Gene's vault. He was doing a tour for his vault box set, and Vinnie Vincent asked me to do a Vinnie soda. I paid him for an autograph, and I never got it.
that sounds about right.
Yeah. is there any competition, if you will, or you guys are soda guys, like you said, third generation?
Yeah.
Is there any other celebrity sodas out there? Like, has people started getting on the bandwagon, if you will, or?
Nah. I mean, here's what you see a lot with the celebrities do. None of them really even mess with the soda. They're all either energy drinks. And I see a lot of them. I seen like Nicki Minaj and a few other people. I think it was the one that dates the Kardashian girl. Travis Scott, maybe? Travis Scott.
Yeah.
He did like one of those hard seltzers.
Okay.
So yeah, no one's really doing the sodas though. You don't see anyone.
Let's talk a little bit about your involvement in it. Are you just supplying the soda, or is it a more detailed relationship?
No, I mean, basically, you know, we own the product. Okay. Gene obviously gives us a license to have his image and his thing on it. So he gets royalties from it. But just like I said, involvement, he's in every part of it now. You know what I mean? Business wise, like, it's just, there's no, nothing we have to go through anybody else with. It's just us and him. That's really it.
What's next? With more flavors?
Yeah, we're looking into doing a blood orange, which obviously that's a no-brainer with Gene, you know, blood orange, and we're doing like a citrusy type flavor, with, you know, something bright with bright colors, great flavors,
like a dew flavor.
Yeah, you know, like a
yellow Mountain Dew type. We're gonna do a citrus flavor too, that's coming next.
And all of our sodas they're made with pure cane sugar, all natural flavoring,
all natural colors.
Really just the, you know, we do spare no expense in our ingredients. So yeah, we do have some new flavors coming up, and you know, we heard that Kiss is going to be adding another 100 shows to their tour. So really that works out for us, because Gene allows us to go to the different, you know, cities that they're in. If there's distributors there or buyers for
any customers,
you know, he'll accommodate them and bring them backstage and take them to the shows. And that just gets people excited. And it works out for us too, because we get to see a Kiss concert
too,
right?
Yeah. The more the better. That was my next question, is are you allowed to sell it at the shows, or that's...
No. That's just... But we were allowed to bring it because, like, they would set us up with a whole room backstage. So, you know, we're allowed to bring the sodas in. And, I mean, Paul Stanley's coming to the meetings, and they know Paul and Doc McGee, and those guys all know who we are because they... Obviously, Gene talks about us, and they obviously want to make sure that we're okay because, you know, they're giving us access to this multi-million-dollar machine, you know, to allow to go in the backstage area and walk around and stuff and bring people back there. So they've all been great. They all know about us, and they have no problems.
It's pretty interesting when you're backstage and Paul Stanley comes up to you and says, "Hey, I'm Paul. How you doing?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, Paul Stanley." He's like, "You know, could I get you something to drink? Could I get you something to eat?" And, like, you know, I'm losing my mind. I'm talking to Paul Stanley, but all those guys couldn't be any nicer. Couldn't be any more professional.
Yeah.
The everything that goes into those shows, how hard they work. It's absolutely
amazing.
It's amazing going back there and watching these people work. And it's not a surprise that they're so successful. I mean, it's amazing.
Let me ask you, have you ever, either of you, worn any of their boots, played their guitars, been on stage on sound checks?
It was actually when they came to Darien Lake the last time. And, you know, Gene and Paul had just arrived at the arena, and Gene's just like, "Come on." You know, he came over, gave me a hug. He's like, "Come on." So he brought, and John wasn't with me, but it was my wife and our other business partner, Chris. He brought us up on stage and he was talking to some of the techs. And that's when Paul came over and introduced himself to my wife and her other business partner. And he did make a comment that he didn't like my shirt because it was a Gene Simmons one. But our other business partner had a pair of Paul Stanley Pumas on. He was pretty impressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a really nice guy. And he came over and introduced himself to us. And it was pretty awesome.
And Paul Stanley, actually, I did two guitar meet and greets with him over the years. And he actually brought at each one, I have two daughters. And each time we did the guitar thing with him, he brought my daughters on stage. My daughters actually performed with Kiss on stage during the show. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing.
What song did he bring them out to?
Both of them. It was I Love It Loud.
That's cool.
And I'm up in the front and I'm videoing, you know, my kids playing with Paul Stanley, and, you know, it was just pretty crazy.
I would love to go on a tour and watch just, you know, the techs do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, the chances when you guys were there on the side of the stage, or did you ever watch any of that or see how the clock ticks, all the behind the scenes stuff?
Well, yeah, you could see while they're setting the stage up when we would be backstage, but usually during the shows we'll have, you know, the customers that we're taking the show, we'll be out in the audience, but even beforehand, just walking behind the stage.
I've been there early and, you know, just seeing them just, you know, pulling the lighting rigs up, you know, setting the drums up, tuning the guitars,
the pyro,
pyro.
That's what I mean. What about Eric and Tommy? You ever meet them? Are they cool?
Very good guys.
Eric always, and Tommy, they always make it a point to come over and say hello to us. Eric loves the soda. We've given him money bag coolers for his house. And both those guys, again, are so professional, so nice. You know, it's always nice to see them, and they do such a great job in the band. I mean, that you could see why they're there, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's many schools of thought about, you know, why are they there? But like Paul always said, we wouldn't be here without Ace and Peter, and we wouldn't be here with Ace and Peter, which is true. You know, like I said, I sort of retired from seeing Kiss. I started seeing them in 83, Creatures of the Night.
That was our first concert, yeah.
I saw it in Rochester.
We seen it in Toronto.
Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah, saw them at the with the tank.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But in our Rochester show, it was Paul Stanley's birthday, which is when?
Oh, that's cool.
I'll do a little heavy metal trivia.
Paul Stanley's birthday is January 20th.
There you go. All right.
So I believe the Toronto show that we seen was January of 83, and I think it was maybe the 14th of January. It must have been you know, just right before they came, because I think they played Syracuse also on that tour.
Well, again, who knew? It was 83. There's no internet. You know, we didn't even know going into that show. We didn't even know Ace Frehley wasn't playing.
We didn't either. Well, I had to have been 6 years old at that show, and my brother Paul and I go to get T-shirts. Our parents are buying us T-shirts, and Paul looks at me. He goes, John, Ace Frehley changed his makeup.
Yeah.
Why did Ace Frehley change his makeup? And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe he changed his makeup.
Yeah.
What an awesome show.
Well, it was a great show. Great album. Love that period.
Oh, but one of the best.
On our venue, we have our, you know, the Rochester War Memorial, 15,000, whatever. But there was a slow selling show, so they cut it in half. But the fun thing on this was they used the back of the horseshoe for the seats.
Oh, okay.
So it was the back horseshoe.
They turned the stage around.
Yeah, and the stage was right there, and just Gene was right there, and the cannon, and so that's the first time I saw the band, and I've seen them, I don't know, well over 25 times.
Now you're in Rochester. Yep. I know the Asylum tour came to Rochester. Yep. Did you see that show?
It was Asylum, yeah. Well, Asylum was with that with Nugent. We saw them Animalize with Queensryche.
Yes.
Asylum or the Asylum may have been Asylum, they may have been King Cobra.
It was King Cobra, and Ted Nugent opened up for the Crazy Nights tour.
Yeah, yeah.
That came to Buffalo, so we seen that, but we did miss the Asylum tour, and I'm still crying over that.
Yeah, very sad. I didn't see Hot in the Shade. They had a Weedsport, New York show. I didn't see that, but I did see Revenge.
It came to Weedsport. I seen the Hot in the Shade tour in Hamilton, Cops Coliseum.
I think that Hot in the Shade tour show was the same day as possibly a Metallica show. It was that August 89?
For Hot in the Shade?
Yeah, Weedsport.
Hot in the Shade, I think the one I seen, it was in 1990, and I believe it was in October of 90.
Okay, because I saw Revenge in Binghamton.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Seen that one in Toronto too.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are in. Oh, where are you guys? Niagara Falls, New York.
Yeah. So we're like right in between Toronto, Rochester. So we're kind of like right in there. So any of the shows that would come around, you know, we try to get to them all. You know.
Oh sure. I graduated high school in '86, and I spent a year in Toronto at a recording arts school. So I lived in Metro Toronto. So there I am, you know, 19-year-old kid, 1986 in Toronto. U.S. Sounds dollar like was $1.60, and you know, drinking Brodeurs and going to the Brass Rail for lunch.
Brodeurs. Nice. Now you're going back, man. I remember them.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, you know what? Moneybags Soda is the brand. Where can people find this across the country? Now we're talking international. Let's start locally, Rochester. Tops, Wegmans, where are we?
Tops, Wegmans. A lot of, you know, independents. I don't know, because we don't actually distribute it ourselves. So I don't know, like, all the local places that they're at. But, you know, hey, listen, if you go to your local candy store or ice cream shop or sandwich shop, and they don't have money bag,
request it.
You got to ask for it.
I got to request it.
Can people buy online?
Yes.
It's available at moneybagsodas.com.
Okay.
And we have nice money bag shippers that we designed. And it holds 16 bottles. And you can choose from all the flavors. And you can purchase it right on our website.
Yeah.
Moneybagsodas.com.
When was the last time you talked to Gene?
Last week. We talked to him quite frequently.
Gene, actually, the last time they played Buffalo at the arena, my brother Paul and I took him to Topps headquarters, Topps Friendly Markets, and he met all the managers. And then after that meeting, Gene came back to my house, and all the while he was being filmed by a Japanese film crew for a documentary on him. So. Mm-hmm. So I have Gene Simmons at my house doing interviews for a Japanese television station, and it was cool. He's just, you know, very we're working right with him. So
and right after we were done, before I drove him back to the airport to leave, we brought him next because my parents live. We all live in the same neighborhood in the same subdivision, but John lives right next door to my parents. Mm-hmm. So I said, "Hey, can we go surprise my mom?" He's like, "Sure." And now I walked in. My brother walks in. My mom's like, "Oh, you guys, you know, we're all dressed up." And then in comes Gene. And then there's the guy with the boom mic, the whole recording thing. They all come filtered in. My mom wanted it. It was a great experience. We got it all on video and it was pretty cool.
Is there ever a time in your relationship with Gene where it's not on camera mode, where he's not?
Most of it.
Definitely.
Most of it. And he's how you see him. Like if you ever watched his reality show, just like he's probably one of the most laid back, like nothing bothers him. He'll let you know if something's wrong and he'll get it done right away and wants you to get it done right away. But he's a really, I just think that he's just been around so many yes people and stuff like that. I don't think he really went out and did stuff with people. Like he would always go back to his hotel room. But with us, we're always with our families and he likes to hang out and just, you know, talk music, art, just have intelligent, nice conversations. You know what I mean? He really enjoys that. And we've done a lot. He's told us we're his friends. I've been to his house. You know, he's been to our houses. I have a cell phone number. He texts me in the middle of the night. It showed me how big his crowd was at the concert. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but he loves my brother and I, and he likes hanging out with us, and we have a great time with him.
Yeah, that's where I was getting at, the real human interaction. Like,
yes.
Like to the point where, no disrespect to Gene, but can you, in a brother kind of, good friend kind of way, say, "I don't know, dude, that really wasn't that cool," or maybe "that really wasn't that good," or "that song."
He actually likes that. When we tell him, "Hey, man, you know, you got," like, say if something has to be done different or we don't agree with him, he actually accepts that, you know, as long as it's not some, you know, thing that doesn't make sense. He actually likes that if you challenge him on stuff.
Yeah, give your opinion, step up, and you know.
His ego doesn't come in between that. Like, he's the type of guy, he listens. Like, we went... When we went up to... It was one of your TV stations in Rochester. I had to give
13 Wham?
I can't remember what channel it was.
Did you work with Mike DiGiorgio?
I can't remember.
I think it was because Mike's a friend of mine, and he's the EP of the morning show.
Yeah, it was on the morning
show. Yeah, so he hung up.
And we went up, before we went up there, he always likes hearing history of local things. And I had to give him the whole history on garbage plates. And he went on the show and talked about garbage plates.
Have you had garbage plates? I'm assuming
you know what a garbage plate is, right?
Rochester. I grew up here.
He loves like all the local lore, and he liked the story behind them about how it was, you know, the Greek guys and, you know, how they made that so people could eat for cheap. He went through the whole history when he went on that show, and he took it in and remembered it.
That's smart, dude.
Yeah. He listens a lot, like, to everybody. Very generous guy too, but he always listens. And that was the one thing, like when we first started, you know, he went to, you know, his CEO friend at 7-Eleven and stuff like that, and he sees how tough it is going through different the levels of command, and it's not easy. You know, you could have somebody say, "Yeah, we'll bring your product in," but after is just following through and pushing the people to get it in and blah, blah, blah. He just said, he goes, "Paul," he goes, "I'm from here on in, I'm leaving it up to you." He goes, "You're the expert. You know how to handle this. I didn't, you know," and he goes, "That's it." Hey. We run everything by him, but like he lets us, you know, do our thing.
Yeah. You ever meet Shannon?
I did. I went to his house. Shannon was there. Cool as shit. I mean, she was, like I said, there was no acting. I know there was scenarios set up like on his show.
Yeah.
How they communicate with each other. And, you know, we went in there and there was people working in his house, and she's like, just giving them hell, you know, as a joke, just jacking them up, just like on the show. And she was, I think, better looking. Sometimes, like, the high def TVs and stuff doesn't really truly portray what people look like. She was absolutely gorgeous. She was tall, you know, 6 foot tall, and yeah. She was really cool.
One more time, Moneybag Soda, Paul and John Janik. Guys, the story is fantastic. And probably the best part of all this is, you know, you're friends with Gene.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, but that's how shit happens.
And he really likes us.
And so. you really couldn't write a better story. So it's been cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Hey, guys, thank you. It's great talking with you. Have a great rest of the summer. We'll be talking.
Nice meeting you. Thanks for having us on, brother.
You're welcome. See ya.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.